Robin, very much. I did neglect to say one thing, that we have a service here Christmas morning. I know it's a busy time, and that's why we always restrict ourselves to 10:15 until 11 o'clock on Christmas morning. Just mentioned that in passing as well. I did notice, just for a few moments as I speak, I looked back on previous records. I think the last 3 years when I've been responsible for speaking here, I've spoken on John 1, which is the passage which Robin has just read to us. So I thought, well, I'm going to avoid that tonight. And I'm going to base my comments really on Luke's Gospel chapter 2, which was a reading that Jonathan brought to us earlier regarding the shepherds and the message that they received. You see, I don't know what you think. It would be interesting. We haven't got time, and I wouldn't do it anyway because I don't like embarrassing people. I wonder what Christmas really means to you, because you know that it's quite a bit of pressure, I think, to a lot of people. Us men get off lightly, I think. I speak for myself anyway. Not too many presents to buy, but for some of our wives and so on, there's a lot of pressure on presents to buy and so on. Families, all the cards to write. Well, I do try and do my bit in that, wrapping them all up, spending loads of money. And then to find a present which is fitting to that family member or that friend or whoever it might be, and so you carry on. And I guess for some people, and maybe some of us here tonight, and probably a lot of people outside tonight, you would say, well, Christmas is a lovely time of the year. It's a bit pressured, really. But actually, it's a bit like going on a visit to Disney World. I haven't been personally, but I know some in the congregation who have, and it's a fun time, and it's full of characters, and it's sort of a bit like that at Christmas time. If you go for a week's or just a 2 or 3 days break to Disneyland, whether it's in Paris or America, and then you think, well, it's absolute fun. We've seen all these characters, and it's great, and then it's all over, and that's it. And sometimes I think I'm sure there's many people tonight in our world who think very similarly to Christmas. Well, it's all very nice, but it's all about fantasy, harmless fun. It's about angels coming to shepherds, telling them that Jesus is born in a stable in a manger, and later wise men come and visit when Jesus is a toddler in the house, and then after that's all done, well, we take the Christmas tree down and take the lights down and put them in the loft until next year. After all, it can't be real, can it really? I mean, to think about it in any other way, can it? I mean, after all, the angel brought the message to the shepherds, and we know it. We've heard it, I'm sure, many times in carol services before. The angel said to the shepherds who were watching over. Interesting that the angel appeared to shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. When most people were asleep and unavailable to hear the message, these ordinary men, quite outcasts in I won't go into it, but they were quite outcasts as far as society was concerned at that time, but the angel appeared to them. We don't know their names or anything about it. We don't know how many there were, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And if you were in any sort of doubt tonight to think, well, surely it's just some lovely time which is equivalent to a visit to Disneyland, you think, well, yeah, it must be like that, because look at the message. It said, glory to God in the highest. The angel said, and on earth peace. You must be joking about peace. Ask the people of Syria tonight about peace on earth. It's not been a bundle of fun the last few months in UK. I think there's a certain word called Brexit about. There seems quite a bit of division as far as that's concerned. And you say, peace? And then you look at the statistics that are given. I noticed last year's statistics were that the police were estimating that 75,000 domestic arguments happen over Christmas between families. The stress of getting ready for Christmas, the stress of having to share it with some awkward relatives. Nothing personal in my family, by the way. And the stress of having to pay for it all. And the angel says, peace on earth, you must be joking. Surely that message went surely to another planet and not this one. Well, hang on a moment. You see, in Luke's Gospel, which we just read one or two verses from, you'll know right at the beginning, and I won't take time to read the whole passage again because Jonathan's read it to us already. But it starts, you remember, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out for Caesar Augustus. There was a census took place where Quirinius was governor of Syria and so on and so on. You know, that is historically true. That's proven to be historically true. Herod reigned. That's a historical fact. Jesus lived on earth. That's a historical fact. And you'll find that Luke goes on in the early verses of chapter 2 and then in chapter 3 in the Bible. You'll not be able to see it tonight, and I won't refer to it on the screen, but in chapter 3, it starts in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. Actually, there's a lot of long words which I won't take time to read tonight, but there's all these people. And so Luke here, actually, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is recording history. So we know that historically it is factual. So it's not Disney World as such, because actually he doesn't start his gospel by saying once upon a time. No. And interestingly, Luke isn't embarrassed by the words of the angels either. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. But notice what he actually says. Because if you're sitting there thinking tonight, well, there's a major difference between the message which God gave to an angel to give to shepherds that first Christmas time to the world in which we live tonight. Look very carefully and you'll see that the Bible is not contradictory. Because the angel said that there would be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's not between men, it's toward men. You see, actually, those people here tonight that know their Bibles, and several of them do, you will know that the Bible tells us the very opposite. There's going to be peace in this world. The Bible actually says, as time goes on, until one day this world will end, and Jesus will end it, the Bible actually says that before those final days, and in those final days, there'll be an increase in war. There'll be all kinds of conflict and problems. There'll be terrible situations, and we see a lot of it in our day and age, because we see a very broken world. And so we see all these prophecies in the Word of God. Some interesting ones too. Imagine, and I often say this from the pulpit if you've been here on a regular basis, but when the Bible was written all those years ago, who could have prophesied that in the last days there'd be an increase in travel, as we read about in Daniel chapter 12, or an increase in knowledge? Can you just imagine that? I was remembering 1966 when I took my CSE. I was a guinea pig the first year that the CSE exam came out, and they got rid of it again since then. But I always remember sitting down in the maths exam, and they presented us with a calculator. Well, I thought that was Christmas, because calculators, it was very big and bulky, but I thought, fancy giving me a calculator. They taught me how to do the tables when I was at primary school. I thought, this is wonderful. Why on earth do they do that? That's like giving me an atlas at the geography exam. And you think, well, and now, that's back in 1966. Well, that's in my lifetime. Now look at us. Well, we've got all these apple and blackberry. I thought they were fruit. All this technology. And the Bible says that that's what's going to happen. Who else could predict, unless God was guiding the hand and mind of those that wrote the Bible? It says that in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But to get back to the subject tonight, you see, he says it's not between men, but between God and men. The peace that we can know and the peace which God gives is not for this world's absence of wars. So sadly, that's not going to happen according to the Bible. And I don't believe we'll ever see it, sadly. But it's between man and God. And you see, verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." So we know without a shadow of doubt this Saviour is Jesus Christ. And why a saviour? You'll know when we receive Christmas presents. I do get a bit suspicious sometimes. You know, when people send you certain things, I do get quite a bit of deodorant. And I wonder if somebody's trying to tell me something. I had some odour eaters one year, which was even more concerning. I don't know if they're really trying to send you a message. I think it was more of a joke. I hope so. But you see, actually, there's a hint in the giving as far as God is concerned, because he says, for there is born to you in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And the reason that we have a Saviour is because we need saving. Because the Bible says, and you don't really need a church or a Bible or a preacher to tell you this, as I've already said, we're in a broken world. You don't teach children to do wrong, you teach them to do right, because they've naturally been born that way, and so have you and so have I. Because we've got this bent away from God. Humanly, we don't want God. We want self-rule. How many times today do we hear, well, I want this because it's my rights, all my rights. I want to hear somebody stand up one day and say, you know, God, our Creator, has got some rights as well. You see, we have all kinds of plans individually and as a country, and we're going to run our lives our way. And you know the answer, don't you? It's disaster. I've said before, do you imagine one day we're going to the 6 o'clock news comes on and the newscaster says, you know, actually tonight it's all good news. I haven't got any bad stories for you. Can you imagine it? Imagine it, because it's not going to happen. You see, we've rebelled against God. Humanly, we don't want God. I've used the illustration many times before, but I'll just use it quickly tonight. But when I first came to Walderingfield, I went round the village. Lovely people in Walderingfield. Hopefully some of them are here tonight. But you know, when I knocked at the door, I was a stranger. And they said, yes, can I help you? And I said, well, I'm the new Baptist minister at Walderingfield. And you know what? You could see in their minds, they were trying to be polite, but trying to get rid of me as quickly as possible from the doorstep. Because they didn't want this Bible bash around. Because humanly, we don't want God. And I can understand exactly where they're coming from. Because I was born that way too. You imagine it. I've got a family now, a growing family, with 6 grandchildren now. A wife, 3 children, and their wives and husbands. And I'm trying to think how many of each. Well, yes, the 6 grandchildren. I wonder how I'd feel if they totally ignored me. Well, you don't anything to do with you. You know, I love them. I'd feel extremely hurt if that happened. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. And sometimes, sadly, families do break down. And it is hurtful, isn't it? But we've got a creator God who made us and has given us life. And let me underline that. I don't believe there's any alternative to believing that God created this world and God's the giver of life, because no man can do it. And no explosion can do it. And we're not at peace with him. So the first Christmas has changed all that, prophesied in the Old Testament, and here implemented, we remind ourselves again tonight that Jesus has come. God has sent his only Son, and he's born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And you know, that changes everything. And you can move further on in the Bible. You look at 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 and it says, Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. We've all got a messed up nature. We're born with it. We haven't got any choice. And we constantly mess it up in life. But the bad news is, of course, you go to Romans 6:23 and it says the wages of sin is death. Well, that's bad news. But it then says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, so we can be forgiven and know peace with him. Early in 2004, a tragedy took place in Australia. Some of you may remember it a long time ago in the news, so I don't know that many of you will, but there was a couple who'd recently got married. They were married just before Christmas, 2003, and they'd gone on their honeymoon to Australia when they went scuba diving off the Australian coast. And tragically, the trip went terribly badly wrong. because the husband, the newlywed husband, and his wife were swimming away, and a shark came along. And the TV news reported what had happened. And they did an interview with the young wife. And she said this, and I'll quote, "All I can remember is turning, seeing the shark with its jaws open, coming straight for me. Just before it got to me, my husband pushed me and placed himself between me and the shark. The shark attacked him. Sadly, he's gone forever." Tragic. But what a brave husband. He came between the death of his wife. He took her place. Actually, that's what the gospel is all about. Jesus has come to save. He ended up on a cross to take away the penalty of our sin. And the Bible, and I finish with this, is full of invitations. I love the invitations in the Bible. There's loads of them. I haven't got time to tell you many. But I just want to tell you one from Romans 10, verse 13, because it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever recognizes this Christmas that it's not just another visit to Disney World, but actually it's real, it's a historic account, and Jesus actually came as God's only Son. He is God who took upon flesh, who came to rescue us, to give us hope in life, changed hearts, forgiveness in him through reaching out to him in faith and knowing for certain that one day we're going to heaven. You see, Christmas is a fantastic time if we only recognize the whole reason is all about Jesus. I finish with the shepherd's response. When they heard this message, they didn't murmur and say, "Oh, you must be joking. There's no peace on earth." No, there isn't. The peace here is between men and God, not men and men. But then they said, verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And after they'd seen him, the shepherds returned," verse 20, "glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." I want to know tonight if you really know the genuine peace that Christmas brings. You won't get it on earth. There'll still be some arguments in family. There could even be some in yours. We're not playing Monopoly this year for that reason. But far, far greater. The message from God through the angel. Not only to the shepherds who were awake at night, but to the people of Waldringfield and surrounding area here tonight, is that we can know the Saviour, the only Saviour, Jesus. He's come to save. He's come to bring peace. Never be peace between people on earth. It's a broken world. That we can know a great peace in our hearts through reaching out and thanking God for sending Jesus, trusting him, knowing sins forgiven, know peace with God, and the peace of God in our hearts, here and now, it changes our lives now. And the certain hope of spending eternity in heaven with him. I love Christmas. I pray that you'll know that great peace too, if you don't know it already. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to restore a broken relationship, to bring about peace.